do you really expect? What are your real expectations for the year 2016? I mean, really, what do you really expect? When you were growing up as a child, when it came to Christmas time or your birthday, have you ever asked your parents for something and you said to them, ooh, I promise if you get me this, I'll never ask for anything else again. You ever said that? How long did that last, right? Or maybe you were a child and you hear your parent and you hear your kid saying that, oh, if you get me this, I promise. I never, of course, kids nowadays, they're going to always ask for something. I'll never ask for anything else. And then when we finally got that thing, we got that toy, we got that electronics, whatever it might have been, you know, after you had it for a little while, it's not what you expected. Maybe when we were growing up as teenagers and in our preteen years, and people kept telling us how that the prom is going to be the bomb. Oh, man, you wait till you go to the prom. You wait till you go to prom. And you've been anticipating for the last 5, 6 years of going to the prom. That one great night. And when that night is over, for most folks, it wasn't what you expected. It wasn't all the hype. Some of y'all ain't saying that. And it's like, oh, yes, it was too. I'm still repenting from my prom night. That's maybe even as an adult, you couldn't wait to get that new car or that new home or apartment. You couldn't wait to get married or couldn't wait to have children. But then when you get on the other side of it, you realize this is not what I expected. Have you ever invested years into another person's life, your time, your energy, and maybe even your money? You could have been enjoying yourself, but instead you poured into that other person's life, trying to make their life better. And you've watched them make one dumb decision right after another for their lives. All your investment seems like it's going down the drain. And you look at where they are today and how much time you spend into it and putting investing in their lives. And you look back and you go, that is not what I expected. What did you really expect? Life is going to be full of situations that are not going to turn out the way that we hope them to be. Even as we go into this year, we got to understand right from the very beginning, we might have some expectations that may not necessarily be the expectations of God. We may choose a college major and then realize when we were in middle school and early high school, oh, I'm going to be a doctor. And then by the time we get to that first semester of college and you get calculus and you get some science class that seems overwhelming, you're like, nah, ain't my calling right there. It's not what you expected. And for some, you settled for something else because this idea did not meet up to your expectations. Maybe some of you even chose a marriage partner, decided that you wanted to get married. That didn't meet your expectation. You decided that you want to have kids and they haven't met your expectations. Some kids say, I wanted good parents, but these didn't meet my expectations. Is there anybody out here today really want to be honest with me? I mean, really want to be honest. And if I were to ask you, how many of you have made a serious commitment to follow Jesus Christ? And since you've been following him, you've had times or season in your life, maybe even right now, you felt like, wow, I made a decision to follow Christ, but it's not meeting my expectation. Is there anybody in here like that besides myself? Oh, I'm the only one? Let me say it another way, because some of y'all are a whole lot more spiritual than I am, but I'm going to get right down to the heart of the matter. And that is this. If you followed Jesus for at least a year, I'm not talking about your first day of salvation, your first week, and even your first year, but at least a year, you have or you will have times in your life where you sit back and you evaluate and say, this is not what I expected it to be. Today we're going to take a look at a man in the scriptures that is a lot like us. Certainly, I think we have a commonality. He was born to be a preacher. His daddy was a preacher slash priest. Everybody looked at him when he was just a baby and said, that boy going to do something. He's going to do some great things for God. Now, they didn't say that about me, but they said that about him. And he did until he got to a point one day where he said, hey, I'm throwing in the towel. I'm calling it quits. This is not what I expected it to be. His name is John the Baptist. Y'all remember him from Sunday school? I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Matthew records the story of, again, this man named John the Baptist, and I've come to the conclusion that John really wasn't Baptist at all. He was Pentecostal, because Baptist folk don't just run through the wilderness crying, repent, 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 and, you know, just full of the Spirit. That's a Pentecostal thing right there. You got to be full of the Holy Ghost to do that. But he was Baptist, a little bit more conservative. But he lived on the wild. He lived on the edge. And in this passage, we find that with all of the zeal, with all of the fervor that he had, he came to a place where he said, hey, listen, I quit. I give up. Matthew said it this way. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, when John the Baptist heard about all the works that Christ was doing, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, listen to this, are you the coming one or do we look for another? Are you the Messiah or should I be looking elsewhere? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Blessed are those who can still maintain their faith. And listen, who don't fall or falter or give up simply because they don't think I've met their expectations. There's some unexpected expectations. When we look at the scriptures, John, of all people, said, are you the one who is to come or should I be looking for another? And this was a surprising question to me coming from John the Baptist, of all people. After all, if we go back and search the historicity of John and his ministry and of his life, I ask myself, is this the same John the Baptist who 6 months in his mother's womb as a fetus and growing heard his aunt Mary come through the door, give her pronouncement that she have conceived and is bearing God himself in her womb. And when he heard the news, he leaped in Elizabeth, his mother's womb. Is this the same John the Baptist who is now questioning the validity of Jesus Christ? Is this the same John the Baptist who wore animal skin and lived in the wilderness, ate locusts and honey, and claimed by others to be a lunatic because he preached repentance and preparing the way of the coming of the king? Is this the same John the Baptist who's asking Jesus, hey, if you ain't the one, can you tell me who is? Is this the same John the Baptist who was overwhelmed at the River Jordan meeting Jesus in his beginning of his ministry? And when he saw Jesus, he pronounced to the audience, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Is this the same John the Baptist who is now questioning whether or not Jesus is really God or not? Is this the same John that stood there in those waters and saw the Holy Spirit descend like a dove upon Jesus Christ and knew that he was anointed and called by God and filled with the unction to preach the word of God? Is this the same John the Baptist who is now saying, I don't think this is the right God? Is this the same John the Baptist who heard the voice of Almighty God from heaven say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased? Is this the same John that has now come to this place where he's doubting that this is the Messiah? Is this the same John the Baptist when he looked Jesus in the eyes, he bowed his head and looked at his feet. He said, not only am I not worthy to look in his eyes, but I'm not even worthy as a slave to take off his sandals. Is this the same John Baptist who's saying, are you the coming one or do we look for another? So I ask, what's the difference between the John then and the John now? Where's all that fervor? Where's all that zeal? Where's all of that passion? Where is that fire? Where is his faith? Well, the difference is this. Now he's behind prison bars as a result of the direction of Herod Antipas' decision to put him in a filthy prison cell. And John, the same John, is waiting for his execution. You got to understand that Herod Antipas, he's the son of Herod the Great, who is the man, if you remember, in the scriptures who, when Christ was born, ordered all the Jewish male children to be executed, to be slaughtered. He was ruthless. Now his son follows in his footsteps, but he doesn't really have the courage that his dad had. He's a coward and he does things in the dark. Even to the point where we get to this place of understanding why John is locked up. John was locked up on one hand for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, of preaching repentance and repairing the way for Christ. But on the other hand, it became personal when he stood at the door of the palace and preached against Herod, because Herod had taken his brother's wife, threw his brother out of the palace, and the two of them became Bonnie and Clyde. And so we find that John the Baptist stood at the front door of the palace, and he preached against this action that had taken place and did something that no Jewish leader in the Sanhedrin dared to do. And as a result of it, he was not only arrested, but he was arraigned to be executed. After a month of being in jail, I'm sure John was thinking, this is not what I expected. He's in the jail saying, God is good all the time. God is good. 2 months go by. God is good all the time. God is good. 2 months turns into four months into these damp walls, dark prison cell. And the next thing you know, the same large crowd that John had been preaching to, and he heard their voices in triumph saying, preach, John, preach. His audience is now dissipated. They've left. He has no visitors. But he keeps getting reports of what Jesus is doing in the streets. The same Jesus that he has preached about, the same Jesus that he believed in, the same Jesus is his cousin, if you will. They played together. And John has to be thinking the same thoughts that we have oftentimes when we're behind prison bars, if you will. He's doing stuff for other folk, but what about me? He's healing the blind, he's raising the dead, but can't a brother even get a visit? Does he care about me? Or maybe I just got the wrong dude. Because if he was really the Messiah, he would at least come see about me. Things look much differently when our circumstances are turned upside down. Have I got a witness? Are y'all awake? This is a crowd. This is a quiet crowd this morning. Am I giving a lecture, or am the brother? Is the brother trying to preach? I don't think it came as a surprise that John would be thrown into prison. I don't think that's what took him by surprise. I don't think he was shocked that he would be arrested for preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. No. In the day of religious persecution, I think John looked back in antiquity and realized that the prophets before him of the Old Testament, that when they preached God and they stood against evil, and especially against the evil rulers of the world, that all of them were persecuted and they were executed. I think he expected that. He expected opposition. He expected even execution, standing before a man's house and talking about, you can't live that way. But here's what I don't think that he expected. I don't think John had expected in this putrid, this rancid cell, that he would be assaulted by his own accusing thoughts. You know, it's usually not the people and circumstances on the outside that bother us the most. It's the war that rages on the inside of how we're going to deal with what's going on the outside that haunts us, oppresses us, and causes us to doubt God. What people, listen, already starting off in 2016, if y'all don't know, which I'm sure you do, you already know, you're going to run into some trifling people this year. Am I right about it? They were there last year. It's probably even be some new trifling people that come into your life. Am I right about it? You're going to run into possibilities that you just might lose your job this year. You know that's a possibility. Am I right about it? You understand that you might have to attend a funeral or sit down in some ICU waiting room because of a loved one. You understand you might get a phone call in the middle of the night that might be disturbed. You understand that's a possibility that that might happen this year. But what we don't plan for is the inner thought, the inward battle, and the inward struggle that catches us by surprise where we say, I don't know if I can believe and trust God in the midst of this phone call. I'm going to say it again. Some of y'all are a whole lot more spiritual than I am. And the reality is, if you don't ever think that way, you're more spiritual than John the Baptist. Let me take it to another level. You're even more spiritual than Jesus Christ. Because Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when it was time for him to face the cross, said this to God the Father. Hey, is there any way we can just kind of work our way out of this situation? That's what that means, let this cup pass. He was so anxious, so worried, the term we would use today, so oppressed and depressed that when he perspired, his depression was so deep that it was mixed with blood. And he said, Father, now that I'm facing it, I come to the conclusion that I don't want to face it. So maybe you're a whole lot more spiritual than John the Baptist, certainly more spiritual than Calvin Redmond, but are you more spiritual than Jesus? Are you more spiritual than Paul who said, take this thorn out of my flesh, and he keep coming back, and God said, I ain't going to do it. And I can see Paul dropping his head and said, it's a crying shame. I can lay hands on everybody else and you will take the thorn out of their flesh, but you won't take the thorn out of my flesh. See, we hurry up to the point where Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, let your will be done. We forget. We got to understand the time lapse. Time goes by to play the. How long did it take for Paul to come to the conclusion that I've learned to be content, whatever the situation, I've learned that God's grace is sufficient. When circumstances overwhelm you, and it's not what we expected, we may not say it out loud, and we certainly ain't going to say it around the saints because we don't want to be judged. But in our hearts, we think like John the Baptist. Are you really the Christ? Or should I be looking for somebody else? Have you ever been there? God bless all three of y'all. And if you can't come to that place to say amen, and I'm not wishing bad on you, that's all I'm saying is, live a little while longer. You'll come to that place. You'll come to that place where you say, God, where are you? I know you may exist theologically, but where are you in my reality? So okay, let me phrase it another way. Instead of asking you the question, and I'm expecting some kind of response, an honest one, that I'm not getting. That you've ever come to the place where you say, are you the Christ or should I be looking for another one? Let me ask you this. You have situations and circumstances you're waiting on God to do something, and he didn't do it when you wanted him to do it, and he didn't do it how you wanted to do it, but the circumstances were still there and they were overwhelming, and you decided you were going to do it your way. Does that make more sense? That's another way of saying, are you the one, or do you want me to just handle this myself? Amen. I'm waiting for God to deal with her or to deal with him. Now, that's taking too long. Hold on for a minute. That's what that looks like right there. That's that. I've been single for so long and waiting for God to send me the right person. And I know this dude, or I know this chick ain't the right one. But I'm tired of being lonely. So if you ain't God and you ain't going to handle your business the way I expect you to, the way you said you were going to do, then I've already found another. Now we got anybody that want to be honest and say that there's been a time or two, yeah, when I think about it. No, we might not doubt the existence of God, but have you questioned the reality of God? See, we've all been there. You remember that time you had a strong testimony about how Jesus can do this and how he can do that? Your testimony was strong until you had a test. Remember you talk about, sung, he's a mountain moving God. You said that with confidence until you had a mountain to be moved. Remember how you could quote scripture to everybody else, now unto him who is able to do all things, present us faultless. Remember all of that? All things work together. You're singing, saying, all things are working. You were singing that song until there was something that needed to be worked out that wasn't getting worked out and meeting your expectation. We all have some unmet expectations from God. Where I stand, I deal with this every day. You have to bury people's kids like on yesterday. It's not what you expect. We've had people in this church just this past year. You're drinking coffee with them and eating crumpets, making ministry plans. They develop a cough, and the next thing you know, they're dead. That ain't what I expected. Brother, bring a pair of shoes to my office and put them on the desk. Pastor, I just want to bless you. By the way, pray for me. I haven't been feeling too good. 3 days later, you're standing there in ICU and he dies right in front of you. That's not what that family expected. We expect, I got a cough. You go to the doctor, they give you some medicine and you get well. You expect, this is my child in college on a full ride scholarship. I don't expect to be burying them. You expect, I work hard on my life, struggle through school. I went from one job to the next job. I passed up jobs to get this job, and now y'all gonna get rid of me? Are y'all serious? Is it like that? I'd invested all my time into this person. And now you want to start tripping? Really? And like John, we go, this is too much for me. I've been praying, and I've been waiting. I've been waiting, and I've been praying. Things are changing, Lord. but they're changing for the worse instead of for the better. And Lord, I've come to this place where, if I can be honest with you, I'm wondering whether or not you're really the one I should be putting my trust in, or should I be looking elsewhere? I think we get that point. Amen. Oh, now y'all want to say amen. It's like, move on. So John said, hey, told two of his, the text says, disciples, two of his closest friends, will y'all go to that brother? Explain to him my situation and ask him, should I be looking toward him to do something about my situation, or should I move on and find somebody else? Is he the one or not? Hey, are you the Christ, or should I be looking for someone else? And so his boys went to Jesus. And they said, well, John told me to ask you, if you're the Christ, are you the Christ, or should he be looking for someone else? And I love the way Jesus operates. He did the same thing to them that he'd be doing to me, so it didn't make me feel so bad. He ain't answered their question. But here's what I love. Neither did he criticize John for his feelings and where he had come with his beliefs. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. Go ahead and tell God how you feel, because he knows it anyway. He ain't going to condemn you because you're like, I really wonder, are you really God now? And this is what Jesus said. This is my Detroit interpretation. That's what John said. He said, yeah, that's what he asked. He said, okay, y'all follow me. As he was going down the road, headed to this town, there's a blind man on the side of the road. Jesus, son of David, will you heal me and restore my sight? Jesus said, no problem. How you doing, bro? I can see good now. Jesus turned around to John's boy and said, did y'all write that down? Moved on a little bit further, and a lady come crawling through the dust and grabbed Jesus by the hem of his garment. And she got up from suffering a hemorrhage for over a decade, and she was made whole. Jesus put her arms around her, and she is restored. And it didn't cost her a dime. Jesus looked back at his boy and said, did y'all write that down? Did you get that? Jesus goes into town. He passes a funeral home there in Nain, and there's a woman who had just lost her son in a gunfight. Jesus walked over to the casket and looked at the boy, put his hands on his chest. Boy got up out the casket, ran out the funeral home, and started playing soccer. Jesus said, y'all better take a picture of that right there. That's an Instagram moment. Jesus went by, and his lepers are out on his farm. They had been colonized. There were 10 of them at the fence. And they said, I think that's Jesus. Hey, don't come close to us. Jesus said, come here, let me holler at you. Turn around, go show yourself to the priest. And all of them were made clean. He said, did you write that down? Did you get that? And he said to them, go back and tell John these words, words that he's familiar with, because in part they're words from the prophet Isaiah, written in Isaiah 9, some 500 years before I came, is what he believed when he was called to preach about me. And you tell him this, go tell John the things that you hear and that you see, that the blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. This is what Jesus was really saying. Go back and do two things. Go back and give him the word that he first believed. And number two, give him a resume. I noticed that Jesus was very strategic, though, because the text in Isaiah says the one thing that Jesus left off when he repeated this. Not only did he come to restore sight to the blind, the deaf might hear, and raise the dead, but it also said he came to set the captives free. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't repeat it. He didn't say, go back and tell John that I also come to set the captives free. You know what the word said about what I would do when I got here. Have you ever come to church on a Sunday and you had a situation, circumstance going on? You say, I just prayed that the pastor preach on this today because I need a word from the Lord, and you leave the church going, crap. I need my bills paid. And he up there talking about vision. The vision of the ministry and where we going in 2016. Ain't what I come to church to hear. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I ain't come to hear that about preaching the gospel about the majesty of God and the holiness of God and the supremacy of Christ. My son got locked up last night. I'm trying to figure out how I can get my baby out of jail. He's been falsely accused. Because all our babies are falsely accused. Y'all know that, right? Jesus said, I'm not even going to tell him what he probably wants to hear. That might even bring greater disappointment because in his expectation, he's thinking that because I came to set the captives free, I got to do that for him in the natural sense. But he's saying, I'm going to set them free another way. And when I liberate him this time, he will never be in bondage or incarcerated again. Because the reality is this, things got worse for John the Baptist. Herodias, that's Herod and Antipas' wife, trifling as she could be. Her daughter went into the palace when her stepdad, the king, was throwing this big shindig for his boys. And she went in there dancing in front of them. Oh, she wasn't doing no ballet or no tap, y'all. It even got her stepfather excited. So much so that he said to her, girl, whatever you want, I swear I'll make it happen for you. Whatever you want. Really, granddad? She went back and told her mom, and her mom said, is that what he said? Well, he's got to hold true to his promise. Tell him you want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. She went back and told him, the heartless man, because he didn't want to be disgraced in front of his boys. If I said I'm going to do it, I got to do it. Ordered John to be executed. And they cut his head off, put it on a platter, and his trifling wife just walked around and showed it to everybody. That is not what the Christian life is supposed to be about. That's what we say. That's what we think. These Christians went through serious and severe persecution, and yet they still serve God. We get upset because we can't sing our song. We get upset because we can't serve where we want to on the door that we want to, when we want to. We get upset because it's too hot in the church. I can't come to church next Sunday. It's too hot in here. Somebody turn the air conditioning on. It don't make no sense. Church that big ain't got no AC. It don't make no sense. Pastor up there preaching, he talking about this, and he's been gone for over an hour now. We get upset. We want to leave a church. We want to, listen, just because we can't have things our way. And you're talking about, I'm going through, you ain't going through nothing. You ain't going through nothing. You keep breaking your fingernails. I'm going through. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Broke my fingernail for Jesus. So they took the message back to John. John was saying, or Jesus was saying, give him my resume. Here's my credentials. My credentials is found in who I am, not just what I can do. Will Rogers, years ago, when a lot of folks didn't get birth certificates, he went to the clerk's office to get a passport to travel outside the country. And when he got there, the woman said that, I need to see your birth certificate. He said, I don't have a birth certificate. She says, well, I need it in order to process the passport. He says, well, why? She says, sir, I need proof of your birth. He said, woman, look at me. I'm here, ain't I? If that ain't evidence I've been born, I don't know what is. Sometimes we say, I need this from you, God, and I need this from you. And if God gave you all of that, the question is, will you still believe and will you still trust him? Things got worse. Again, he lost his life. But he gained his life because God was doing something greater. Should I look for another or should I go ahead and just do things my way? Go ahead, John, look for another. Whatever your name is, go ahead and look for another, because I guarantee you, if you're like me, you've looked before. And here's the reality. Where are you going to look? Where are you going to look to find anybody who is comparable to Christ? Where are you going to look to find anybody that has a resume like Christ? Where are you going to look to find anyone that has the power that Christ has? Where are you going to go to find someone that can do only what God can do? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go when you get in trouble? Who are you going to call? Superman? When you're desperate, who are you going to call? Spider-Man? When you're overwhelmed with anxiety and fear, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? Because that's the resume of people that you got to choose from. When you want somebody to hold you in the middle of the night, someone to help you to get through your difficulty, who are you going to call? Tyrone? Erica had already told you, she took her phone from Tyrone, so he ain't going to answer. The songwriter asked the question a few years ago, where do I go to when there's nowhere else to turn? Who do I talk to when there's no one else to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation that's stable? I could hear Whitney saying, I go to the rock. Because I know that he's able, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountains, and the mountains, they stand by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ Jesus, the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, woo, I can go to the rock. I can go to the rock. You can go to the rock. And when you go to the rock, don't go to the rock dictating what the rock should do. Rock, here's my expectation. This is a mental image and picture that I've drawn of you, conceptualized by taking pieces and fragments of borrowed scripture. And now I have pasted together my own Bible, my own word, my own truth, and my own depiction of who God is. And so therefore, I bear that image on you. Now make it happen. Like a genie rubbing the lamp. God is not our genie in the lamp. It's the Most High God. And I'm here to tell you, the bottom just might fall out. He said, man, don't be speaking that into my life. If the bottom going to fall out, ain't nothing I can say one way or the other is going to make it happen or not happen. The question is, do you trust in the sovereignty of God? He has absolute control. And the providence of God, that he has every resource we need to get through whatever decisions that he makes on our behalf. Let us pray. God, help us in our expectations. God, I do understand this. You have instructed us to be diligent like ants, not to be sluggard, not to be slothful. We need to have plans, goals, and agendas, but at the heart of every goal and agenda, we need to have a Christ-centered focus. A focus on the supremacy of an almighty God and King. May we make Christ preeminent in all of our affairs and all of our conversations and our thoughts and our deeds. And oh God, I pray for someone today who's heartbroken, someone who is weak, oh God, someone who is oppressed, someone who is haunted by their own thoughts, their own fears, their own challenges, their inward anxieties, the doubts that ring out in the middle of the night. Help them to realize, oh God, that even if they lose all of these things, you will always be with them and see them through. John lost his life, but he gained life. I can hear Paul saying, For me to live is Christ, but to die is an advantage. And I pray today, oh Father, as we start this first Sunday of the new year off, that this message becomes the agenda, the platform, the foundation in which we set any other plans and agenda for this year 2016. May Christ be exalted. And when there's that prevailing question, are you God or should I look for another? Help us to trust in your word. Help us to look back at what you've already done. And help us to trust in who you are. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Come on, you can do better. You ain't clapping for me. We're praising him. Amen.